Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Profs. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Doug Haslam of Topaz Partners and Shell Holtz, principal of Holtz Communication and Technology. So welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having us.
So today we're looking to explore the changing world of PR. It's a huge topic. So to start us off, I'd like Shell to give us his thoughts on where is the PR function standing today, Shell?
Yeah, overall, I think the PR function is standing quite well today. It takes a lot of heat, depending on where you're reading. I think there are a lot of people who look at it very superficially, looking at media relations as though it is the be-all and end-all of public relations. There are also a lot of people who are focused exclusively on the social media space, where certainly public relations has some catching up to do. In some organizations, other organizations have taken some outstanding steps toward integrating social media into the mix of offerings and establishing practices and integrating the capabilities throughout their practices. But by and large, if you look at public relations agencies, the big ones, the Fleischmanns, the Burson Marstellers of the world, they're doing quite well. The various practices are serving the needs of their clients, and a lot of the functionality in public relations that people don't think of or aren't aware of when they think of PR, they're continuing to offer those kinds of services, crisis planning, for example, reputation management, those sorts of things. I think the PR industry, the billings, if you look at them, are as high, if not higher, than they've ever been. Client satisfaction seems to be pretty high in general. And I think the profession is doing well. Now, that's not to say that there isn't work to be done and that there aren't efficiencies. But in that, the scope of the question you asked, very general, I think PR is doing fine.
Great. Now, Doug, larger companies, absolutely, totally agree with Shell. You know, when you start to take it down a couple of clicks, what's your feeling there?
Yeah, and from the standpoint of an agency person who deals with a lot of smaller companies, I'm just seeing a good shakeup in that social media has made us think and our clients think a lot more about the approaches to media and public relations. It's opened up a whole new group of media to pitch, but it also means we're relearning some of the relationship PR tactics that we somehow lost along the way where we started, mass emailing press releases and all that. I hope that era is gone. And it also has opened up a channel of expression for companies and clients because you can produce blogs and podcasts. It's another way to get your voice out there just by producing your own thing. So I hesitate to use the word revolution, but I think there's just a lot of exciting things happening in the media space that's to make PR a lot more vibrant place to be, I think.
Yeah, but Doug, don't you think within the company, though, the PR function, is that doing as well as it can? I mean, is there room for improvement within a company rather than outside?
Well, I think one thing I can see is just from experience being within a couple of companies is that I'd always like to see marketing, PR, and even sales all get along and get on the same page. And once you get into the concept of producing blogs and podcasts, you really have a lot of cross-departmental functionality and departments that don't always talk so well with each other need to be on the same page to really produce this.
Great. And Shell, what do you think of Doug's view on that?
Well, I agree with Doug. I would also suggest that within companies, the departments, they've been outsourcing more and more over the last several years, and I think they're relying more and more on the agencies. Now, that's not to say that there aren't companies where there are strong, vibrant public relations functions within them, especially in larger organizations. If you look at Procter & Gamble, for example, they've actually been innovating in the areas of measuring the effectiveness of public relations. In the mid-sized to smaller organizations, I think that there is probably a lack of understanding of the changes that are taking place in the marketplace, the changes that are taking place, particularly among the constituent audiences that they're looking to reach in terms of how they get information, how they process information, and most significantly, the fact that they are engaging in conversations around these issues rather than passively consuming the content that has traditionally been pushed at them. I think part of this is the fact that the leadership of the organization hasn't embraced these changes, and the public relations people need to be focused on what their leaders are asking them to do. Part of it is that they have day jobs that consume, 12, 14 hours a day, and it's tough to stay focused, especially when you're in a one or a two-person shop. But there's definitely some catch-up to be done in the internal departments.
Sure. Now, Shell, with all these new social networks, how do you enable employees to participate? And aren't they essentially spokespersons for the company at that particular moment?
Well, I think they're spokespersons for the company at any given moment. I mean, for years, we've been asking employees to be brand evangelists and sending them out to PTA meetings and family dinners and church picnics and what have you, asked to represent the organization and to represent the brand and the products. I don't think that it's that big a stretch to ask them to do the same thing when they are engaged in social networks like Facebook or MySpace, or reading or writing blogs or, commenting on blogs or any of the other social media avenues that are available to them. Preparing them to do that, on the other hand, I think is a major undertaking that most organizations haven't looked at. It's a fundamental shift in the role of the employee communications department, one where we have been in internal communications, really trying to influence employees in order to get them to work in a manner consistent with, the achievement of the goals and objectives that the organization has. Now we also have to prepare them to be spokespeople. It's a shift in the concept of media training almost, so that you're not just training the leaders of the organization to be able to speak well on behalf of the organization, but also the employees. And I'm not suggesting here that employees should all be parroting the same line. They should have access to the resources and information that is going to allow them to speak in their own voice intelligently and accurately about company issues, company products, those sorts of things. But they also have to know where there are opportunities to put your foot in it, if you will, by misspeaking or contradicting something that has been offered by the authoritative voice of the organization, the person or department that sets the statement of record.
Sure. Now, Doug, some companies are taking this, very literally and saying, we're going to shut off these particular networks. We're not going to allow access to that, maybe in light of not having some sort of a policy. What's your view on that from a social networks perspective?
Well, I think, and I know Shell has opinions on this. I mean, I think it is short-sighted to do that, because it is, and just to add to something that Shell was saying, I don't think the whole brand evangelism thing is anything new or unique to social networks. It's or even part of any formal effort. They don't have to send people out to the PTA or the church meeting. If you're at a cocktail party or on the ski slopes, someone knows you work for Ford. It's kind of nice if you know how to describe your company and what they're doing. And just to go back and answer your question directly, a social network is not just Facebook. It is the church social, and it is the ski group and all that. And people will be asked about, what do you do for work? And then they've got to talk about their company. So they need to be in some way media trained to the extent that they know some general messages, what the company's doing and how to talk about the company concisely and intelligently.
I like the distinction that you've made that, social networking is, or social network is not unlike that of a, church meeting or something else, where you need to be fluent in, who you are, what you do, some of the basics, right? And being able to articulate that effectively. So taking it a little bit differently, what about folks like yourself and Shell who maintain your own blogs? Are you, in fact, now becoming part of the media in which you serve?
I'm producing, if I have a blog, and I do, and I'm on Twitter and Facebook, I am producing media. That makes me part of the media, no matter the small size of my particular audience. But it does, and as an agency person, it represents a particular problem that I'm, not a problem, but a particular change in that I'm out in front now, not just the guy in the background trying to make my clients famous, but I'm actually having to say things in the public forum, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or my blog or whatever, when it's relevant to bring up a client, I'll do that. And I just have to be smart about doing so. I have to disclose when I have these relationships. And I do have to, you know, get the messages across accurately and not misrepresent the clients either. So you have to think about it a lot, even on my personal blog.
You know, Shel, is there some sort of conflict of interest there by becoming an aspiring media mogul?
I don't think you can view it that way in light of the changes to the media landscape today. I mean, everybody's talking to everybody. I think you do have to be circumspect depending on the client and depending on the relationship and depending on the nature of the work that you're doing for them, whether you actually, you know, take that leap and become a visible spokesperson or remain behind the scenes. It's a very gray area. There was a time in the practice of public relations where you would never want to be visible, that it's the client that's visible and you're doing work behind the scenes and guiding the things that they'll say is they're visible. Those days, I think, are over, but that doesn't mean that you want to be associated with a statement or a claim or a blog post with every engagement. I mean, particularly in some crisis communications and some issues management, I think it's still appropriate to stay behind the scenes.
I had a client that actually asked us as the agency, as agents of the company, to participate in blog comments. And I was really nervous about that, but we did it in such a way that you know, people knew who I was, that I worked with, helped represent the company, and was trying to, in the comments, either address anything that was brought up, give additional information, and try to be helpful or thankful, depending on what I was doing. But you know, not every client wants you to do that. But in this case, it was their idea.
Great point. All right. So bottom line this for our audience today. We've got marketers listening to us. What should they be doing this year with their PR organization? What should they be trying? What should be on their radar, Doug?
Well, I think more and more social media is, we've been talking social media a lot, but I think companies are still catching up to that and embracing the media creation and not ignoring blogs and the other social media entities out there. I think there are companies that need to, NPR groups that still need to get caught up in that. And I see that's more and more the case. I think 2008, we'll see a lot more of that, definitely participating, definitely monitoring. And again, it's not one prescription of social media for all companies, but you look at your goals and decide, well, where do we need to be and get out there. And as I said before about employees as ambassadors or brand ambassadors, as we all said, recognize that employees are and always have been ambassadors of your company, even when they just go out to dinner and someone talks to them. You've just got to realize that people need to be able to talk intelligently about the company, and could be any employee, not just marketing and PR.
Shel, you get the last word.
It is important for organizations to start to understand the significance of the social media space. There are a lot of people who are in denial about it. It's a fad and it's going to go away, or it's irrelevant, just a bunch of people talking about their cats. There are a lot of people who feel that it's dangerous and needs to be avoided. But the fact is that your reputation is at stake in the social media space. There are people talking about you, and there are those who are influential and have a good shot of getting a message out. There are also things that go viral for no good reason that you can put your finger on. Just all of the stars align and that message spreads. And I think it's important that people start to understand how you monitor that, as well as how you play in that sandbox on behalf of the organization, on behalf of the brand. I wanted to comment also very briefly. Doug said I had opinions on the idea of blocking, and that's because I've started a campaign called Stop Blocking at stopblocking.org, where I've assembled resources to help people make the case that you shouldn't block access to, you know, Facebook and Twitter and the other social media tools that are out there, a business case. So I think it's important that leadership be engaged, but also that employees be engaged. And doing it on company time is a new dimension of work.
Great. Well, Shel, thank you for mentioning that. I really appreciate that. And thank you both for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. And for our listeners, now it's your turn. please let us know what you think about the future of PR in your company. Shell, Doug, and I will be glad to keep this conversation going with you online. We'll be back again next week with another ProfCast, and thank you very much for listening.